Krishna and Vrindavan. And we're going to be talking about Krishna and the cowherd boys going out for a forest picnic and killing of Agasura. So we're reading from Canto 10, Chapter 12, the killing of the demon Agasura. Let's sing. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey, Krishna, 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 Rakshamam. Krishna, 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 Pahimam. Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rama, Raghava, Rakshamam. Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Krishna, Keshava, Pahimam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All right. So Krishna's getting to be a big boy now. He's going out into the forest every day with his friends. He's not staying at home with mama every day anymore. And so one day he decides that he wants to have a big forest picnic. So he wakes up and he tells Mother Yashoda that today they want to have a feast in the forest. And so Mother Yashoda, she makes all of these snacks, little crunchy fried snacks, fried in ghee, and she gets little pots and fills them up with like semi-solid condensed milk and chopped fruits, and she mixes flat rice with the yogurt and fruits and condensed milk and all these things. And then she packs so much. She makes enough for not only for Krishna but for all the boys, because she made a lot. And then all the boys come to meet Krishna to get ready to go. And so Krishna, when the boys come, he gives the food to them. He like starts dividing it all up between all of the boys, and there's a lot of boys. And then they get their cloths and they're packing it up like that. And so Mother Yashoda's like, oh no, he's giving it all away. Then she goes making more. And so they have tons of prasadam. And so every boy has his little cloth, like kind of like a bandana that they fill up with all these like nice fresh made crackers and samosas and like flat rice and yogurt and condensed milk little pots and all this. So they tie it all up in the cloth. And then they have their sticks for herding the cows. So they tie it on the end of the stick and they put it over the shoulder and they head out to the pasturing grounds. And they all have that lunch bag. And they also have different things. Like they have flutes. They have those little like pan pipes, you know. And they have buffalo horns that they blow. So they have all these musical instruments. And so they're going out. It's like a big Harinam procession. They're all playing their instruments. They're all singing and they're dancing and they're playing and they're having a lot of fun. So yeah, it's said that hundreds and thousands of cowherd boys came from their homes and joined Krishna. And they all had each of the hundred and thousands of boys had their thousands of calves. So literally they were countless. That's the word that in text 3 it says, Krishna Vatsar Asankhyatar. So Krishna means Krishna. Vatsa means the calves. And then Asankhyatar, like Sankhya means counting. Like Sankhya Yoga means counting, enumerating all the different elements. And Asankhya means that without count, it's just countless, countless calves. So many that you cannot count them. And then in the last line of that verse, it says, Vijarush Tatra Tatraha. That Tatra Tatra means here and there. So they're just going here and there and doing what? Vijaru, playing, only playing, just simply enjoying. So this word Vijaru, we see a few different places in this pastime. Whenever Krishna's the boys, that's all they're doing. They're just playing. They're just enjoying. And Vrindavan is like their playground. Everything that they see in Vrindavan is just like something to play on for them. That's the only thought that they have in their minds, is just how to play in Vrindavan and how we can have fun in this, how we can enjoy this situation, how we can, they see a hill and they think, oh, how can we play there? They see a tree, how can we play there? They see some animals, how can we play with them? So they go like that from one place to another place, only having a good time. And the boys are all, before they leave the house, the mothers, they dress them nicely. They get them all decorated with jewelry and things. But the boys don't care so much about the jewelry and ornaments that their parents put on them. But they like to decorate themselves with things they find in the forest. So they find some red berries, and they make necklaces and put those on, and they get the different oxides. There's different stones that if you get them wet and you rub them, then it makes different colors like browns and reds and purples and yellows. And they make all these natural mineral pastes. And then they put dots and they decorate themselves. They make little homemade tattoos and stuff all over them. And so they decorate themselves that way. And they also get bunches of flowers and peacock feathers and leaves and things, and they make them into different decorations. They put those things all over in their hair and their armbands and stuff. So they have fun like that. So then they're going around, they're all decked out with forest things, and they're playing, and they have all the lunch bags on the end of the stick. So then one boy sneaks up from behind and he pulls the lunch bag off the stick. And then that little boy, he turns around and he's like, "Hey, what are you doing? My lunch." So then he's chasing after him to get his lunch back. And then he throws it, just like American football, right? The player gets the ball and everybody chases him to pounce on him. And as soon as they're getting close, he passes it to the next person. So like that, they're playing. This is the origin of American football. And they didn't use football, they use a lunch bag. So the boy's chasing and chasing, and then he throws to another one. And then he chases that one and he throws to another one. So like that. And then sometimes the boy who's the first person who stole it, then another boy's like, "Okay, well, let's see how you like it." And then they take his. So then there are all these lunch bags that are flying around. And then the first boy who still didn't get his lunch back, he gives up, he gets tired and he just starts crying. And then they all laugh and give him back his lunch. Boys, right? They bring the little guy to the point of tears. So boys do. So, yeah. Then sometimes Krishna would be just enthralled with the beauty of the Vrindavan forest, and he would wander to look at some nice scenery up ahead. And then the boys would notice that he's way up there. So then they go running to try to catch him. "I'll get to Krishna first. No, I'll get to Krishna first." So they're racing, they're sprinting, they're running as fast as they can, they're neck and neck, and then they touch Krishna. And then the one boy says, "I got him first." And I said, "No, I was first." And then they have an argument. Who touched Krishna first? And then Krishna turns around. He's just like, "Who cares? It doesn't matter who touched me first." Because they're about to have a punch up over it. So you guys stop. It doesn't matter. Yeah. And then what else? So yeah, sometimes they would just stop. They would find a nice clearing where there's nice soft grass, and they would get out their musical instruments and they would have a jam session with the musical instruments. So they're rocking. One's playing the buffalo horn, one's playing the flutes, another one's got kartals, and another one is making some rhythm, and they're dancing. So they're making the music and they're dancing, they're doing their boyish dances, and they're doing little, they'll be dancing and then doing somersaults and spinning around and that kind of fun stuff. So they have a little party going on. And then they start observing the animals. So whenever they see the animals, then they want to try to play with the animals. So they'll see some ducks. The ducks are just sitting there by the edge of the marsh and they're just doing their duck thing. And the boys will go and sit there with the ducks, trying to remain completely still like a duck. And then they'll be quacking. And then they try to imitate the cuckoos. Cuckoo bird makes its cuckoo, cuckoo. And then the boys are doing that. And then the peacocks spread the tail feathers and start to dance. And the boys are trying to dance like the peacocks. Right. And when the birds get up and start flying, then the shadow of the birds is on the ground. So then they'll be chasing the shadow, trying to see who can step on the shadow of the bird first. And so they do all these things. And then the monkeys, of course, the monkeys in Vrindavan are very famous, and the boys would play with them a lot. So, don't try this when you actually go to Vrindavan, otherwise it can be quite dangerous, but they used to make funny faces at the monkeys because Like if you go to Vrindavan and you see a monkey, if you look a monkey in the eye, and especially if you make a face, he'll do the same. He'll go like that. And it's really scary. Or sometimes I'll go, whoo, and then sometimes I go, hurr. They'll like show their teeth, and that's really scary because those monkeys in Vrindavan, they have big fangs, like literally like that. So when they show their teeth, it's like, you just imagine that tooth about that long, like gonna sink into you if he decides to bite you. So these big papa monkeys and their big fangs. So the boys, but of course that time the monkeys weren't so evil, I think. Now they're just like really terrible. But the boys would play with them. They would make faces, and then the boys would make faces. And then sometimes what the monkeys do in Vrindavan, they'll make a face. They won't just go. They won't just make a face, but they'll kind of like pretend that they're jumping at you. And be like, and it's actually scary because you think they are going to pounce on you, and they're so strong, they're like really strong. So the boys would do that, and the monkey would like pretend to jump at the boy. The boy would like do the same, and then they'd go up in the tree. Monkey climbs up in the tree, and the boy follows him up in the tree, and then they're swinging from branches trying to grab the tail of the monkey. And yeah, so they would have a lot of fun with the monkeys that way. They'd be jumping from branch to branch like the monkeys. And yeah, so then they're like in Vrindavan, especially like on Govardhan Hill, there's lots of streams. So there's the Yamuna River, of course, which is like big, but then there's like little streams. So they would watch the frogs jumping there, and they would get in the river and imitate the frogs jumping from stone to stone. So, and then they would come to a well, and they would shout into the well like something like Haribo. And then I'd hear back, whoa! And then they would say, who's down there? And he goes, ah! And they're like, it's me, like that. And then as it keeps coming back, so then they're having like this conversation with the echo, you're gonna die today. And then the echo's like, die today. Anyways, they're like curse. So then they start cursing and having like this big battle with the voice in the well, and they're all just laughing. They're all saying funny things, and then it's coming back in a funny way, and they're like laughing. So yeah. And then there's this nice verse that's a very famous verse at the end here. It's text 11. Itam satam brahma sukhanubhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena Mayashritanam naradarakina sakam. In this way, all the cowherd boys used to play with Krishna, who is the source of the Brahman effulgence for jnanis desiring to merge into that effulgence, who is the supreme personality of Godhead for devotees who have accepted eternal servitorship, and who for ordinary persons is but another ordinary child. The cowherd boys, having accumulated the results of pious activities from many lives, were able to associate in this way with the supreme personality of Godhead. How can one explain their great fortune? So, yeah, some of these, of course, some of the cowherd boys were, Nitya Siddhas. They were Krishna's eternal associates who came down from the spiritual world with him to help him in his pastimes. But others, they were coming up. They were just, performing sadhana bhakti like we're doing, waking up in the morning, doing our stuff, doing our processes of devotional service. And after many lifetimes, then they get to this point where they can actually just play with Krishna. So, yeah. Yeah, and he's saying that this position is like it's impossible to achieve even by yogis who do, yama, niyama, asana, prana, all this, Ashtanga yoga processes for many lifetimes. They can't even come close. They can't even touch the toe of 1 foot of Krishna. So who can describe the good fortune of these boys of Vrindavan who, or all the Brajavasis who lived with Krishna, who saw him face to face every day, who interacted with him so intimately. So one day they were out playing and they were having a race. The boys were all like, okay, let's see if any of us can run as fast as Krishna. So like Krishna, it's you against the rest of us in this race. And if any one of us wins, we all win like that. So then they're running as fast as they can, but Krishna's in the front. And then they're running and running with all their might. And then all of a sudden they see something. They see this big, huge, like on the path that they walk on, there's this big, huge black thing. It's a big, like open mouth of a cave. They think it's a cave. And then they think, wow. that wasn't here before. Vrindavan's so wonderful. It's always changing. Every day it's a different experience here in Vrindavan. There's always something new to do and some new way to play. So they get excited and they're like, this big cave, you know, we can explore it. And on the top of the cave, there's these big rubies. And hanging down from the side of the cave, there are these like vines, these red vines. Actually, that was the forked tongue of the snake. And the rubies on the top were the red eyes of the snake. And the and they're like, and look at the what do you call them? Stalactites of the cave, you know, the sharp. So that's the teeth. But they're seeing it as like as this exciting cave, like, and they're getting all adventurous and thinking, wow, something new to do and explore today. So and then some of them are saying, you know, actually this cave is really amazing. It's shaped like a snake. Did you notice that? Like, look, the stalactites could almost be teeth, and those ruby things could be eyes, and the this you know, open this part in the opening could be the tongue. And they're like, oh yeah, look at that, that's amazing, what a formation, like what a rock structure. And then somebody's like, well, maybe it is a snake. What if it is a snake? It could be a giant snake, you know. We had demons, we had Bakasura the other day, this huge mountainous duck that came to try to kill Krishna. What if it's a snake that came to swallow us? And they're like, ah, who cares? Just see how Krishna killed Bakasura so easily and killed Vasasura so easily. Even if it is a snake that's trying to eat us, Krishna's going to polish him off in a second. And that'll just be another part of the fun. So thinking like that, they just went in. And then Krishna is, of course, Bakasura, he's the younger brother of Putana and, I mean, sorry, Agasura is the younger brother of Putana and Bakasura. So he's thinking, this Krishna, he killed my older sister, he killed my older brother, and now he's just having a good time. How can that be? Somebody who's such a murderer, so cruel and wicked and heartless, how can they be allowed to have such a good time in life? He should suffer. He should die too. Like that. So out of he's envious, seeing them, you know, enjoying themselves. He can't tolerate their enjoyment. So he wants to go there and kill. And also he's an assistant. He's, you know, a servant of Kamsa. So he wants to please Kamsa too. So for all these reasons, he wants to kill Krishna. The boys go in the mouth and Agasura is like, he doesn't really respond. He's just staying there like frozen because he's waiting for Krishna. Like he doesn't mind killing the boys, but this is not really his target. His target is Krishna. So Agasura is like, and he's thinking, if I can kill Krishna, I can offer him like Pinda to my departed ancestors, my departed older brother and sister. Krishna will be the suitable offering for them. And then after that, I don't need to worry about the Brajavasis, because when Krishna's dead, they'll all basically just die out of despair. So in that way, it'll be good. I'll solve everything. So then, yeah, Agasura was huge. He was 8 miles long. And when he opened his mouth, the bottom jaw was on the ground and the top part of the top jaw was like touching the clouds, or some descriptions it says it was touching, it was like all the way up to the heavenly planets. It was that big. So yeah. And so the boys started going in and they're smelling, you know, because they're walking into his mouth and his breath stinks because he eats a lot of animals and the animals are just rotting in his belly, and it just smells like decomposition, like dead rotten fish. And they're just like, what is that horrible smell? They're like, oh, probably all the dead things he ate. And but they don't mind, you know, they're just like in this mood of playing, and they're just oblivious to all that. And so then in the meantime, Krishna's standing, you know, there's that famous picture of Krishna where he's just like, oh my God, I can't believe these boys, they're walking straight in the mouth of that demoniac snake who's like gonna eat us all. And and the verse here says that the boys thought it was a statue made in the shape of a great python for the enjoyment of their pastimes. And then I'm trying to find that verse where it says that Krishna is like, this is really getting out of hand. It's here. Text 27. Krishna saw that all the cowherd boys who did not know anyone but him as their Lord had now gone out of his hand and were helpless, having entered like straws into the fire of the abdomen of Agasura, who was death personified. It was intolerable for Krishna to be separated from his friends, the cowherd boys. Therefore, as if seeing that this had been arranged by his internal potency, Krishna was momentarily struck with wonder and unsure what to do. So this is Krishna, he's also under the influence. I mean, this is all happening by his internal potency. And actually, Krishna talks about this because he says, well, how is it that they're having such a great time, and then all of a sudden this demon shows up and disturbs their fun? Like, how can that happen? Because Krishna's the supreme enjoyer, he doesn't get disturbed. There can't be any, like, you know, impediments to his enjoyment. And so what the way Vishwanatha Thakur describes it is that thing was that this day they were going to have a picnic, and they all had the lunches, and they hadn't stopped to eat yet because they were so engrossed in their playing that they just didn't think about eating. And so the time that they were supposed to eat was already passed. And so one of Krishna's potencies, Leela Shakti, was acting. Actually, the Leela Shakti arranged for this whole pastime just to get the boys to stop, just to interrupt their playing so that they would stop and eat lunch, so the picnic could happen. It's all to just facilitate the picnic. So then Krishna's like, okay, well, what can I do? You know, these boys have total faith in me. And he was thinking how to kill the demon, because, like, with Vatsasura, he picked him up by the back legs and whirled him around, threw him into a tree. But he couldn't do that with Agasura because the boys were in the belly and they would also get hurt. And with Bakasura, he took his jaws and ripped him apart. But again, he couldn't do that with Agasura because the boys would, you know, get hurt. So he had to kill him in such a way that the boys were not harmed, when the boys were inside him. So then he thought, the only thing I can do is I have to go in. So then Krishna walked in. And when Krishna walked in there, the boys were already unconscious because that breath from it was so toxic. It was like so poisonous and smoky that the boys just passed out, like people do in a burning building when they inhale too much poisonous smoke. So then the demigods were like, oh no, alas. You know, they were like really worried. And so when Krishna saw that the demigods were getting stressed out, he thought, oh no, this is not good. The boys fainted. Now the demigods are stressed. I got to resolve this situation quick. So he was in the neck of Agasura. And then he just made himself really big. He just grew and grew and grew and grew. And Agasura was also already big, and he was also trying to grow, but Krishna was growing faster than he was growing. And then he basically blocked off his whole throat so that he couldn't breathe. And then Agasura just suffocated and died. And the soul, the carried by the life air, because when a person dies, then the soul leaves the body, the life airs try to push the soul out to some opening. But because Krishna had totally blocked his mouth, then the soul came bursting out of the top of his head, which is like an auspicious death. And then the soul just stayed there in the sky, hanging out, just like waiting there, hovering in the sky until Krishna came out. So in the meantime, Krishna, he has to save the boys. So he goes and he just glances over the boys with his loving glance, and they all jump up and they come out all together, like laughing and dancing with Krishna coming out of there. And then when Krishna comes out, then that Agasura's soul then merges into Krishna's form. So it appears that Agasura got Sayujya Mukti, which means he merged with Krishna. But the Acharyas explain that he actually got Sarupya Mukti, which means that he got a form like the Lord in Vaikuntha. But at first he entered into Krishna's body, but then after that he was elevated from that position to Sarupya Mukti. So that was by the touch of Krishna. And also because many of the demons, they just get Sayuji Mukti. They merge with Brahma Jyoti, or they merge like with Krishna's body. So this is like a higher level is to get, you know, like Sarupya. Any of the other Muktis is better than Sayujya because you can actually interact with Krishna. So it's explained that because Agasura actually gave a lot of pleasure to the cowherd boys. Like when they saw Agasura, they got really excited. They were like, yay, a new way to play. So by making the cowherd boys happy, it was like an indirect service by Agasura. He pleased Krishna's devotees. So when you please the devotees, then you get the mercy of Krishna. And so he got the mercy of Krishna, and Krishna gave him this Sarupya Mukti. And he even continued to please the devotees after his demise, because after some time, Agasura's body dried up. And it became like a playground that they actually became actually like a cave that they could go in, and they would like do rock rappelling, climbing up his body. They'll get their ropes because they have the ropes for tying up the cows, and they would lasso one of his spikes on his back, and then they'd climb up and they'd rappel down and like slide down his back to his tail, and they would have a good time. It was like a play structure for them. So yeah, let's see what else. And of course the demigod flowers and all that. And Lord Brahma, he also came because he heard everybody yelling Jai Jai, and he came down to see what was going on. So this incident took place when Krishna was 5 years old, but nobody found out about it until after a whole year had passed. And we're going to find out why tomorrow. All right, Evan.
I was reading a line in the chapter, and
yeah,
I wanted to point out.
Yeah, please do.
24. The boy said, has this living creature come to swallow us? If he does so, then he will immediately kill my Bakasura without delay. Thus they looked at the beautiful face of the enemy of the Bakasura. Laughing loudly, clapping their hands, they entered into the mouth of him.
Yeah, they were so excited. They thought, like, when Krishna killed Bakasura, they thought that was the coolest thing ever. Mm-hmm. That was like, I mean, just imagine it, you know, like the whole scene and Krishna killing, like how exciting that was for them. So they're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a replay of killing Bakasura. Krishna's going to finish this moment. It's going to be so exciting. Let's do it. Yeah. Max?
I was going to say, like, they knew it was a python. They're like, yeah, go. And then also, I wanted to point out that, so that when Krishna kills Agasura,
yeah,
he says his eyes roll here and there and pop out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doing. It's like a cartoon almost. You know the cartoons when he's like, doing. Okay. Wait. I wanted to share something here that I had here. I can't find it now. Should I have it? Okay, who that's Jeremiah? You want to say something?
I just wanted to say that.
Okay.
It might be different for us, but it made me think of like entering this room in the sense of you're playing around and like, oh, what's that? It's like, well, that also could be a really great snake that's going to do this. And he's like, oh, that's okay, visualize. Yes.
Krishna protects the devotees. Krishna always protects the devotees.
Yeah, and then it's like, you know, the soul like goes in and like, you know, begins to be aware, like someone falling asleep, like being knocked out by the noxious gas or the external energy. Like Krishna's soul like goes in and within the heart.
Krishna takes care of it. Yeah, so all this, you know, this fun that the cowherd boys are having with Krishna, that's like Krishna's pastimes are full of enjoyment. And the idea, he comes to this earth to perform those pastimes to attract us to this, you know, spiritual enjoyment. Because, you know, enjoyment is our nature. It's the nature of the soul to have an enjoyable life. And that's why we're always searching for an enjoyable life. You know, it's like people are so into trying to enjoy in different ways. But people just don't know how to enjoy. So, yeah, we have to, by hearing about these activities, then we should be inspired, you know, to transfer our enjoying propensity from sort of dull, material, temporary enjoyment to the pure enjoyment of the spiritual world. Yeah, just by remembering these pastimes, I was reading so many nice purports here, talking about how just by remembering these pastimes, even for a little bit, you know, even if we just remember like momentarily Krishna's pastimes, even if we just think of Krishna momentarily, then we get so much benefit, so much purification. And yeah, it says here, diverting even a little of one's attention towards Krishna and activities in Krishna consciousness immediately enables one to achieve the highest perfection of life. Oh, this is what I wanted to read. For Vaishnavas who are somewhat advanced or fully aware of the glories and potencies of the Lord, Srimad Bhagavatam is a beloved Vedic literature. After all, we have to change this body. If we do not care about Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, we do not know what the next body will be. But if one adheres to these two books, Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, one is sure to obtain the association of Krishna in the next life. So the point is that we're all going to leave this body. Everybody's going to die. The soul is going to leave the body, and we don't know where we're going. Most people don't have a clue where they're going after death. So, but if we study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, then we understand, that there's another reality. There's an eternal spiritual reality, which is where the soul is meant to be, which is where we want to go. And there are all these pastimes, like we're hearing about Krishna the Cowherd Boys, it's going on there. And so we can be like, yeah, that's where I want to go. And we can cultivate the desire to go there. And the more we read about it and the more we, purify our hearts, then that becomes like a reality for us. And and we get a taste for it. That's what he's saying, that someone who's a little advanced in Krishna consciousness, they're very attached to the Srimad Bhagavatam, because this is our life. This is like where it's at. And this is where we're going. This is where we want to go. And by hearing about it, then we're sure to obtain the association of Krishna in the next life. That's how potent it is here in these pastimes. So, if we somehow or other remember Krishna at the end of our life will be successful. So yeah, just to try to practice remembering Krishna now. The more we remember Krishna in this life, even though our mind doesn't naturally go to Krishna, but we have to sometimes, coax our mind over to Krishna, force our mind a little bit to go to Krishna, and then gradually it starts going automatically. And then at the time of death, our mind will go to Krishna, and we will go to Krishna. Okay, we're over time by a few minutes. So, Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanandi.